Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Heads was straight up with Surge with you also yesterday. And I got you until 7 o'clock today. How about that? Diesel still on the sticks. You want to chime in? 71307, the text line. Start that text with ESPN. You want to tweet at me? Let me know. I'm already in some back and forth with someone that doesn't like my opinion, Diesel, that the University of South Carolina was in the wrong by trying to shout down the newspaper with their response. That's interesting. But if you're looking for me on Twitter, at Fogel said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. I don't understand.
You could have just said somebody doesn't like my opinion, and I would have said, oh, he's probably on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know it's just, it used to be when Twitter first came out, it was like the bathroom stall, right? It was like what you write on the bathroom stall, and there was funny things, and there was just random thoughts, and then it just became a megaphone for stupidity and hate, and it's unfortunate. But yeah, I don't understand how you can't see how having a negative response to one of your other community members when you're the leader in the community, I don't understand how you can miss that. I really don't. So I'm just going to move past that. I'll tell you what's going on later in the show. College football player transfers. This is a weird thing. Now, the Derek King thing, he ended up saying, as we found out, that, well, no, he's not planning on transferring. Whether it's true or not, it brings up a bigger question for me, because we're towing the line with selfishness, I think, with these transfers. But it's also on the fence with having control of your career, and it's tough to choose a side. So we'll discuss that later. Also, Jeremy Branham, he's a reporter with Sports Radio 610, the flagship of the Texans in Houston. He will join us at 5:40. We'll get in the Texans locker room, figure out what he thinks. There's an interesting stat about the Panthers defense that is at odds with what the Texans offense does, and he'll have some good answers for us there. Also, next segment, a Clemson alum in the NFL that I feel sorry for, because I think his talent is being hindered by his coach, and that hits home for me. I'll explain. That's next segment. First, I just want to get back to Will Muschamp and the situation going on in South Carolina. Just, it's funny to me that there's still people out there that think that the firing of Will Muschamp could not possibly happen. I think we need to accept for the fact that money talks. They're definitely willing to buy out of contracts, and people really don't mind having to make the change. There's this idea that, oh, you can't make a coaching change, he's still in his contract. What it does for recruiting and his current players, they adjust. If anything, they'll welcome it. We had a SEC Network sideline reporter, Tara Talmadge, on with us yesterday, and she told us that the feeling she got at that sideline was that it was sad. That tells me that the locker room's probably lost, okay? So a coaching change, as unrealistic as it may seem, even though AD Ray Tanner goes on the air and says that he's wholeheartedly behind Will Muschamp, yeah. We've heard that before. What else are you going to say, right? Are you going to say he's on the hot seat? Has an AD ever said that, Diesel? Has an AD ever gone on the air or just said to a publication, a media member at all, like, oh yeah, we're looking to replace our football coach? I don't think so. The only thing they'll ever say is when they actually get fired. At least I think from the last, what, 5-10 years, no one said, yeah, he's done at the end of the season. They might say, oh, I'm retiring at the end of the season, or I'm going to step away. And then that gives you your answer. But come on, it's fine. It's going to happen. It should happen. And there's a very realistic option for South Carolina out there, or at least in my mind it is. I think Jim Harbaugh likely punched his ticket out of Michigan with the bad loss and just the fact that he's, what, like 1-6 against ranked opponents on the road. And that, look, We also need to establish this real quick. Whether you're a Jim Harbaugh fan or not, I am. But whether you are or not, he still elevated that program. Did he elevate it to national championship picture, which is where they feel like they should be? No, clearly not. Right there, they always finish right around number 10. That is, so he didn't reach that expectation. That's fine. He's still a really good coach. Okay. He's also, here's the important part, quarterback oriented. He hasn't tasted the SEC, hasn't had that taste yet. Might as well go get it. He's got the resume, and also he's got the high energy and charisma. That's huge. Well, I mean, Will Muschamp is probably the anti-charisma, or at least that's how it appears. Sometimes coaches are hard to read. But if I'm South Carolina and I have a young quarterback, two young quarterbacks, one a redshirt freshman, one a freshman that have a lot of potential just from what we've seen and they've got time to grow, wouldn't you want a quarterback-oriented guy and someone with that kind of energy? Like, South Carolina's a sleeping giant. You're in the SEC. You're a middle-of-the-road SEC team. You can get whatever you want. Right? We're not talking about trying to get somebody to TCU in the Big 12. Nobody cares about the Big 12 anymore. It's Oklahoma and sort of Texas and Oklahoma State and everybody else. Texas is still overrated. Gundy has great hair, needs to bring back that mullet. They always find their way into the top 25, and then OU, whatever quarterback they get that transfers there, is going to be a Heisman. And the Big 12 just doesn't play defense. We're not talking about someone trying to go to TCU. We're talking about bringing a coach to the SEC. South Carolina. That is an incredibly attractive position. So why not think that you could go get somebody like Jim Harbaugh or even spend the money? You've got the boosters. You've got the means to make something happen. Okay? Because it has to be a culture change. It can't just be, we'll move Will Muschamp back to the defensive coordinator position. That doesn't really work. How about someone like Harbaugh, and I'm just using Harbaugh as an example. I would love that just personally, but is it realistic? Not necessarily. We don't even know if he's on the outs. It's just an assumption since he's been there, what, 6, 7 years, and he hasn't been in the playoff, and that's what they're looking for. But you have to have that mold. Likeability is a huge factor for keeping a coach. Will Muschamp sort of has that, but when you look at something like, I don't know, like Bill O'Brien with the Texans, or better yet, here we go, Marvin Lewis, who recently got fired last season or walked away with the Bengals after over a decade, or someone like Jeff Fisher. Those three guys can't win worth a damn, but they must be your go-to guy if you're looking to grab a beer, because they never get fired. They could be 9-7, 7-9, never win in the playoffs. Boom. Likeable. Like, think about Jeff Fisher being fired on Hard Knocks by the Rams. Do you remember that a couple years ago, Diesel? If you remember that, please chime in, because the staff, do you remember their reaction when Fisher came into the room and told them that he had been let go? They could not believe it. You would think that they would just kind of be sitting there like, oh, yeah, well, we saw that coming. But they didn't. And that's because he was such a likable guy. It doesn't necessarily mean he's a good coach. We understand that. But Muschamp must file under this category of likability, and it always clouds your judgment. It's kind of like when you have that person at work that tries hard, but they still suck at their job. But they get defended because they try really hard. That's a really tough thing to be at odds with, right? Like, you love their effort, but damn, they're just not good enough. I experienced that a lot being a youth baseball coach. You got 13, 14-year-olds trying to make their high school teams, and the reality is they're probably just not good enough, but they want it really bad, and I have to be the one to tell them, you know what, you're probably not going to make it. Or when they don't make it, I have to tell them why that is. That's never fun, especially when you like them. They work hard. It's always tough to let go of. But Muschamp's not the guy, not because he isn't winning. That's the obvious part. But because he never was the guy. And here's why. In this day and age, defensive coordinators are never the guy. And that sounds so simple. But look what's out there right now. Matt Nagy, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury, I'm naming offensive coordinators that are now head coaches. Kingsbury, what has he proven? Nothing. Right? How much flack is that guy getting in Arizona? So much. I almost feel bad for him. Because he just jettisoned into an NFL coaching job after going from head coach at Tech to, I mean, sort of offensive coordinator for USC, South Carolina, or Southern California. And now he's an NFL head coach after being there for, what, like 2 months? Why is that? Well, maybe there's some charisma, but no, he's that offensive mind. And then who was out there? The defensive guys. Steve Wilks, out of Arizona. The Ron Rivera's of the world? Surprising that he's been able to be there so long. Vic Fangio, how's that going to work out in Denver? Brian Flores in Miami? Think we know what's going to happen there. Outliers or exceptions to the rule? Bill Belichick, he's a defensive guy. And Nick Saban. Also, maybe Pete Carroll. There's some defensive guys that have had a lot of success. But defensive coordinator backgrounds don't bode well in today's NFL and much of college football. Like, this can't really be a surprise to you. Adam Gase gets hired by the New York Jets. Who's out? Todd Bowles, defensive guy. Freddie Kitchens, hired in Cleveland. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Zach Taylor in Cincinnati replacing Marv Lewis. Like, I just think that the thought process should be there to move on from him. I don't think it should be something that's that hard to accept. 71307, start that text with ESPN. Texter says, do you think Mark Richt would come out of retirement to coach South Carolina? That's interesting. I was a fan. It's too bad that it just didn't work out after Georgia. You know, you like to think that he would have some success somewhere like Miami. Another texter says both Muschamp and Tanner need to be fired. There we go. Whatever qualified Tanner to be an AD in the first place? Two championships in baseball. Yeah. I mean, not a revenue-producing sport, so it's one that you don't really worry about. Kind of with you there. He made the hire, but it's a little extreme when you want to cut the head off the snake. That can be a lot. I'm Derek Fogel, filling in straight up with Sturge. Coming up next, I will tell you the Clemson alumni in the NFL that I'm beginning to feel sorry for. And this hits home for me because talent doesn't always trump bad coaching, and it's unfortunate. We'll discuss that next. Derek Fogel filling in, ESPN Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Filling in, I'm Derek Fogel. Great to be with you. Now, last segment we were talking about, or I was saying how defensive coordinators are just not it nowadays. They're just not the guys that we're looking for because the way the game has changed rules-wise is very important to that argument, but also everyone's just looking for that young, sexy offensive mind. That's what it is, right? Look at McVay and Kingsbury. Never mind that they're actually handsome, right? So that that fits the sexy argument. But I just want to return to the phone call real quick before we move on to a Clemson alum that is in the NFL that I'm feeling sorry for because his talent is just being hindered. Let's hit the phone line, shall we, Diesel? Is Mike still on the line wanting to throw his two cents at Will Muschamp, a defensive coordinator, being a head coach?
Yeah, we got Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I do agree with you. I think Muschamp is going to end the season. But to be a head coach, as far as the defensive coordinator goes, you have to be exceptional. And you got to add Kirby Smart to that list of coordinators that you did name because what he's done out of Georgia is pretty doggone good.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Thank you, Mike. There are exceptions to the rule, right? I mean, it's just the fact that will happen. It's just by and large, it's just really tough to have success with a defensive-minded guy. It makes it more impressive for somebody like Mike just mentioned, great call, Kirby Smart at Georgia, or even just Ron Rivera with the Panthers, or Pete Carroll with the Seahawks. And then Nick Saban and Belichick are off the charts, right? But that's a good point, and that's a name that I forgot. So thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. 71307, start your text with ESPN. You want to chime in. If you're looking for me on Twitter, at Fogel said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. One of the tweeters here was taking the kid to baseball practice and having a good back and forth, enjoying the show. Appreciate you listening, and good luck at baseball practice. Those are those can be long nights. I speak from experience as a youth baseball coach. So moving on to this, the Clemson alum I'm talking about is Deshaun Watson. Man, I feel sorry for him having to deal with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's not a horrible coach, right? We're not talking about, I know I actually just last segment lumped Bill O'Brien in to Jeff Fisher and Marvin Lewis as guys that are incredibly likable, or they must be the go-to for grabbing a beer with because there's a likability factor, even though they don't win. I know I just lumped him in there. He's not quite at their level, but he struggles when he gets to the playoffs, and I don't know if you've ever watched a Texans game. They are constantly finding ways to let a team back in the game. They can't finish teams off. They're always in close games with teams that they shouldn't be. And to back up that argument, there have been, I think, 6 blowout wins for Bill O'Brien in his tenure with the Texans, total, in 6 or 7 seasons. And blowout wins, I say that's more than 17 points, more than 3 possessions. That, I'm sorry, with the kind of talent the Texans have and that Deshaun Watson has with, hey, another Clemson alum, DeAndre Hopkins, talk about somebody to feel sorry for. That guy finally gets a franchise quarterback when he's been one of the best receivers in the NFL. Think about what that guy's dealt with. That's sad. But that's not the conversation I want to have. The one I'm talking about is Watson, the talent he has when it's at odds with your coach. This is something that really hits home for me just because as a college baseball player, my senior year, we had 7 guys that would go on to play professional baseball, whether it was drafted, undrafted, 1 guy's in the major leagues right now, 3 of them made it to AAA, and a couple are still playing. Now, we were an under 500 team. How in the world, in a mid-major conference in the Missouri Valley, were we under 500 with that much talent? Well, when you have a coach that doesn't put all that talent in the right places, you're not going to succeed. Deshaun Watson is so unfortunately in the wrong places. Thanks to Bill O'Brien. That offense, it was set on Sunday. I was flipping between Cardinals and Panthers and Texans and Chargers. It was the afternoon games, flipping back and forth. And I think Phil Simms said it. He said, the Texans are a team that never catch rhythm. They have an explosive play that gets them down the field, and then they fiddle around for 3 more downs until they can maybe air it out and have some luck down the field with Hopkins again or something. That's really frustrating, I would imagine, for Deshaun Watson. Now, let me also be fair here, right? I'm targeting Bill O'Brien. I'm targeting Jeff Fisher, Marvin Lewis for not being good coaches. Coaching's a really hard job. One of the challenges of coaching is making sure that your players are in the right places to succeed and thus have team success. That's not easy. I'm not saying it is. But man, there's some guys that are just not fit for it. And I have, unfortunately, I have more of a story there with my college coach when it comes to hindering talent and why some of those guys that went on to play pro ball got undrafted. I shouldn't say it on the air, but why not? He actually spoke poorly to scouts about a couple of players that went on to play professionally because he personally didn't like them. He couldn't swallow his own ego and just get a guy drafted, which I can't believe he didn't realize that, oh, more players drafted under my tenure would make me look good. Instead, he spoke poorly about him. That's something that really, that's probably why I have passion in this argument when it comes to watching someone like Deshaun Watson or just any player that seems to be struggling with a coach, is that really hits home for me for those reasons. And another reason why I bring it up is because could that be a problem with Ryan Helinski and Will Muschamp? We already established he's a defensive guy and that's going to be really hard just from the get. And it remains to be seen. But Will Muschamp did say it was his most talented team that he's had at South Carolina, and here we are. Right? We talked yesterday how I don't love the play calling, and it's time to take the training wheels off. The more we see training wheels happening, where you have the short passes to start the game and so on, and you're not helping anybody. That's what I'm fearfully watching from Will Muschamp and Ryan Helinski. You know, I'm wondering if down the line, Helinski is going to be able to move past Will Muschamp. Right? Is his talent going to be able to get past the limit that a coach can put on a player sometimes? And that's not the first time it's happened. It actually, God, who was the, Diesel, you're going to have to help me out on this. Who was the quarterback? He was like 6'6". Drafted by Tampa Bay, played a few seasons there, and then never panned out. He went to Lee's Summit High School in Missouri. That's the Kansas City area. I can't remember who it was. Oh, he was a huge guy. He was like 6'6 or 6'7, never panned out. This was like 10, 12 years ago. Doesn't matter. Point is, he actually never really got to be the best NFL quarterback. And it was funny. The reason why he and other coaches said is because his high school and college coaches held him back. So when it came time for him in the NFL, he wasn't able to really advance himself because he had been so limited by those coaches. It's wild, man. Like, I couldn't believe that that would happen to somebody. And they would just digress when they got to the NFL. That's the time to grow. But if you have a bad coach, that can do horrible things to your talent. So when I'm watching and you're watching Texans and Panthers Sunday, have an eye out for Watson, man. I hope that he can get past O'Brien. Or, you know, it sounds bad. Maybe he needs O'Brien to lose. Or maybe he's got one more year after this year on that rookie deal. Maybe it's time to move on from Houston. I wouldn't. Thank you. Mark Ryan texts in. Josh Freeman. Josh Freeman was credited to his high school, his college coaches for slowing him down. Or his college coaches were trying to speed him up from how he had been slowed down in high school. And it just reverberated in his whole career. Shout out to Mark Ryan. Thank you. God, I can't. Josh Freeman. I wonder if you had to Google that. Trip down memory lane for you. But I'm telling you, watch out for that, because I feel sorry for players that get hindered by coaches when you're not put in the best place. And the Texans are a really good example of this. I think you'll find that watching the Panthers and them play on Sunday. You'll just watch this team and you go, man, they are loaded. They had Jadeveon Clowney, but that defense still is Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt and Bernardrick McKinney. And then that offense, my goodness, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Kenny Stills. In the backfield, Carlos Hyde, he's been looking pretty good. You sold the franchise for Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. With all the talent they have, they will find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. They will find a way to be in the game against the Panthers. Now, the Panthers are a decent team. I'm not saying that, but look, I'm not saying that they're going to play down to the level of the Panthers, but the Texans barely beat the Jaguars by inches, 13-12. They beat the Chargers 27-20 and had the opportunity to go ahead by plenty, by at least another touchdown, and also had plenty of opportunities to give it back to the Chargers. They got bailed out by penalties. An interception, an almost pick six by Deshaun Watson, bailed out by a penalty. Phillip Rivers gets him within the 5-yard line, under 30 seconds, bailed out by a penalty. That poor guy, man, with Bill O'Brien, I hope the best for him. Deshaun Watson is one of the most likable players that we come across, and that's rare nowadays. So always beware of coaches limiting talent. Derek Fogle filling in for Will P. I got to... Diesel, say his name for me, please.
Pelagic.
Pelagic.
Yeah, pull logic.
Pull logic.
Pull logic.
That is not how it's spelled.
Not even close.
Okay. Filling in for Will Pelagic, straight up with Sturge. Coming up next, Diesel and I have some interesting tipping experiences at restaurants recently. And also, we'll get into these MLB wildcard do or die games. They're less than a week away, man. It's time to get into it. ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Filling in, Derek Fogle, great to be with you. Going to discuss the MLB wildcard scenario and also just the playoff picture. I can't believe it's less than a week away. And we'll get into these one-game play-ins I really don't like. I would even love for this wild card series to be of just even if it's best of three. We'll talk in a minute. But first, I want to get to this. We, Diesel and I, have had some tipping experiences recently. First, I will share mine with you. Mine's a little intense in a way. So I like to order carryout when I don't want to tip. Right. I know it sounds lazy, but that's what I do. Like if I want tacos and I don't want to go sit down, I just want to I just want the food and I want to eat it at my place. I do carry out so I don't have to tip. Well, I do that at this taco place, my favorite taco place. And I put an X through the tip and I sign. And the woman like gives this like chuckled at me. And I knew exactly what it was about. She was scoffing at the fact that I didn't tip. So I say to her something funny, and she goes, "You didn't tip." And I said, "Well, what would I tip for?" And she goes, "Well, we get the bags for you." Oh, you hand me my food. Does that warrant a tip, Diesel? Like I've heard the STD rule, the standard $2 tip rule, STD rule, but. Like, or, okay, I get it if maybe, oh, they put more chips in for you. Yeah, maybe hand them a tip. But she took my bag from a shelf and put it in front of me. And she goes, "Well, what about tipping the chefs? What about tipping the cooks?" And I go, "Do they get tip share?" And she said, "Well, no." Okay, then what am I doing a tip for?
I'm with you. I don't tip on takeout orders. I don't do it.
Like, I feel like a jerk. But that, I called her out because I knew if I didn't say something, she's totally going to go to her friends and be like, "Yeah, this one guy didn't tip and I laughed in his face." No, you didn't. And I'm not going to let you get away with that. You know, I couldn't let that happen. So if you think you tip on carryout, 71307, start your text with ESPN, or what I should have done. I felt like a jerk after I walked out, to be honest.
No, I have a policy. You pay for the food, you tip for the service. If there's no service, then there's no reason to tip.
Yeah, thank you.
And there's a lot of places now, and I know we're getting a little off topic here.
No, that's all right.
But there's a lot of places that ask you to put a tip before you've even gotten your food.
Yeah.
Like you walk up to the register, and they ask for a tip. I'm like, well, how do I know if the food's good? I haven't eaten it yet. I haven't experienced any service. I don't know if I'm going to have a good experience here. So can I go up there and ask for my tip back?
Yeah.
If I had a bad experience? No, I can't do that.
It's the hand your number, or they give you the number place, right? Wherever that may be. They give you your number and you already tip, and then you go sit down. It's like, well, hope it's good.
Exactly.
But yeah, what was your tipping experience? Mine was a bit more aggressive, like I said. I don't think yours was.
Okay, so I was at lunch coming to the station yesterday, and it was a restaurant just like the kind we're talking about. It had a tip jar right there next to the register, and the guy in front of me, while the employee's back was turned, he put a $5 bill into the tip jar and then took $2 out. So he had the intention of tipping $3, and you presume that he didn't have any singles or whatever. So he just throws in a five but takes two out.
Well,
so it's still a net gain of $3. They still gained $3 in tips. However, he made change out of the tip jar.
Yeah.
And that's weird. That's really weird. Sure, he could have just asked for singles, but he didn't.
No, it does. It looks really weird anytime you're taking something out of a tip jar. I think that's a rule of thumb. Oh, is that like a jerk or no jerk situation?
Kind of.
Yeah. Ooh.
And I've got a poll up on the ESPN Upstate Twitter. Is it okay or is it not okay? And it's still premature. It's only been up for about 5 minutes, but 53% say it's not okay. So it's almost 50-50 split. Saying that it's okay.
You know, and as we talk about it, it's funny how sometimes in these conversations you can talk yourself into something. I still can't decide.
Right.
Because I put myself in that position, I'm probably reaching into the tip jar and making change. Okay? So, I'm going to think about that.
But everybody who watches you do it, like, he just reached into the tip jar.
For sure.
They don't care that you put a $5 bill in there. They just care that you reached into the tip jar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know what? This is we're going off topic. We're getting derailed, but it's fun this way. This makes me think of college when people used to leave their cash tip on the bar, and if the bartender didn't get to it fast enough, people would use the tip to buy drinks. So, God, I don't know.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is, because it's uncomfortable, but there's nothing wrong with it. He's still tipping. So, text line says, no, you don't tip on takeout. No, never. Thank you. And she tried to laugh in my face. That's right. Also, texter says it's tough to tip at a buffet. Yeah. You know, buffets, I don't remember the last time I went to one. There's a lot of risk involved now. Maybe I'm a germaphobe and just afraid of foodborne illness, but.
Can I tell you a time when I had the opportunity to call out an employee for something not completely dissimilar from that?
Absolutely, because I feel like a jerk, so level up with me here.
So for about 2 years, 8 years ago, I worked at a local gentleman's club as the daytime DJ playing music. And, you know, gentlemen's clubs, there's a lot of $2 bills that circulate in their cash flow. And I'd get paid out in $2 bills most of the time. I would change most of them for 20s and 10s and whatever, but I'd have a couple left over. And one time I went to a local Starbucks and paid with a couple of $2 bills. And the barista gave me this smirk and said, oh, ho, 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 I know where you've been. You've had a good time, huh? And so without even flinching, and I knew where I got it from, but without even flinching, I said, I'm going to need to talk to your manager right now. And I bawled them out for saying, how dare you presume that I attended a gentleman's club.
Even though it's true.
Even though it's true. They didn't know that, though. They shouldn't presume that.
Okay, Karen Diesel. You asking for managers. Oh, Karen.
Well, no, there's a big deal here with Clemson University. They stamp Tiger Paws onto $2 bills, and fans take them to away games. And that way they can track where it's some sort of experiment to see how money circulates. And the question is, how long can it take for a bill to come back to South Carolina?
Huh. You know, not to spoil that experiment, but I'm pretty sure the Federal Reserve has got a good idea. You know, they try and keep bills like in circulation only like 5 to 7 years or something. But sorry if I just ruined the experiment. No, that's a good story, though. I can't believe you went full Karen and said, I need to speak to a manager.
Well, you know, what if I was actually the person who gets offended by that kind of stuff? I'm not, but they don't know that, so.
They don't know that I work there,
and it's
totally
a weird
true.
Flex on their part to just say, hey, I'll bet you were at a strip club last night.
Yeah, well, I've heard, you know what? since you've worked at one, I've heard that strip club food is phenomenal. I've also heard that it's terrifying. Which is it?
It depends on what you got, but most of the time it was pretty good. You know, the theory is that it's supposed to have bad food, so they have to make it really good.
Yeah, okay, that's all right. Maybe I'll give it a shot. I also haven't been to a strip club in, I don't know. It's been a long time. And I even was just at a bachelor party a few weeks ago, and we got too hammered and didn't make it. So that's collateral damage, I suppose. Maybe saved us a bunch of money, saved us some $2 bills. All right, let's... And also, 71307 to the text line, if strip club food is good or bad. Do you tip on takeout, yes or no? Do you make change out of the tip jar? We've got a lot of questions. 71307, start that text with ESPN. Or you can tweet it at us. I have no problem with that. At Fogel said what? F-O-G-E-L said what? Quick baseball discussion here. MLB wild card on the horizon. If the season ended today, you'd have Rays and A's for the wild card game and Milwaukee and Washington. Man, how awkward is it that the Nationals eliminate the Phillies last night and Bryce Harper's going home? Is this a legitimate question? Are the Nationals better off without him? Is that harsh? Maybe. Either way, good for the Nationals. I think you saved a bunch of money. I don't think it's that unheard of to say that Bryce Harper's a little bit overrated. Is he an impactful player? Sure. But to get that wild card game ready, they're going to warm up. Too bad the Cubs didn't do much. That would have been more interesting to see. I think they have a pretty talented team. Too bad the Mets couldn't do anything. They've had an exciting year. But Milwaukee and Washington, it looks good. It's just really a question of where it will be. And then if you're looking for Braves, Cardinals talked a little bit with Mark Ryan. For all that is holy, please, Braves, just beat the Cardinals. It doesn't have to be in three. I'd love that. If you do it in five, that works too. But just do not let the most insufferable fan base in the St. Louis Cardinals fan base beat you. That's just the worst case scenario. Please. That's my only plea with the Braves. You can lose the next round. Preferably not. I'd like to see someone in the World Series besides the Dodgers. Just don't lose to St. Louis. That's all I ask. But is that something that people are excited about? That Bryce Harper, like Diesel, does that resonate with you? Even if you're not necessarily, you know, anti-Harper, does it resonate with you that his former team eliminated him when his team that he went to just spent a bunch of money to try and be better?
That's awesome. It's poetic justice. You know, I don't watch enough Major League Baseball to have this hatred of Bryce Harper. For some reason, a lot of people really just dislike Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
But it's still funny. It's still ironic. It's like transferring to a school and then playing them the next year, and then you lose. You lose to the school that you just transferred from.
It's very karma-oriented here. It's very, very karma-oriented. And I'm not opposed to it. You know, you're saying people don't like Bryce Harper. He draws contempt to himself. He's not inherently likable. There's some people that are, and there's some people that just flat out aren't. He's one of those people that just isn't. I don't know why that is. Something about his face, maybe. Right? Like, who has a punchable face? Not because of anything they've done, but just their face makes you want to punch it. It's a Step Brothers moment, but it's also a legitimate question. Someone you just see him on the street, right? And you're like, I want to punch him in the face. For some reason, there's people that have that look. They're totally innocent, and you're not going to actually punch him in the face, but it's like, you look annoying because we're incredibly judgmental creatures. That has to be Bryce Harper. He just draws a lot of hate. Total money grab, and then you and your team are overrated, though. Yes, Diesel, you're right. It's poetic justice. Like, that's why people watch sports right there. Just to see things like that happen. Like, that. What a money grab it looks like. You could have had, he would be such a hero in Washington if he would have stayed. And then the best part is, when he got that offer from Washington, wasn't it said from the owner, he got the envelope that said it was a $300 million 10-year offer with, it was going to be offset money, or not offset, where they pay it later. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Doesn't matter. And he said, it's a start. It's a start. You're actually getting paid whatever. You had more money. You had your life set up with the Nationals. And then you just walked away. And then they're going to eliminate you from playoff contention. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. All right. Coming up next, I didn't quite get to it. I apologize. We had fun stories. They're going to have to come first. I enjoy a good story. The MLB wild card, do or die. Why I think it's wrong, why it needs to be best of three, that is next. Filling in for Straight Up with Sturge, Derek Fogle, ESPN Upstate. Filling in for Willie P, Derek Fogle, Straight Up with Sturge. Get a hold of me on Twitter at Fogle Said What, F-O-G-E-L Said What. Text into the show. Always welcome. 71307. Start that text with ESPN. So before I get to what happened in the Bears locker room the other night, MLB wild card. Man, that one game plan should not be one game. It needs to be best of three. And I know it's been like this since it was created, and it's exciting and it's cutthroat. And I like that, but it's not the way the game of baseball is played. We, as a society, it needs to be best of three. Okay. We, as a culture, for some reason, we feel like we have to change some things just because that's the way we feel like we're making progress or we're moving forward. But when we change things, we don't necessarily need to alter the foundation of what made things great just to make progress, unless the foundation really needs changing. Do you want to change baseball that badly? I don't think so. Do you want to change football that badly? I don't think so. And a lot of people would argue, Diesel being one of them, I think you would say that you've been turned off by the NFL based on rules, based on anything that's happened surrounding the league. There's a lot of things that for a reason to turn it off, but specifically with the game itself, they've made a ton of changes and it's a softer game. Is it for player safety? Sure. But even just reviews.
Same reason I don't watch NASCAR anymore. They've made so many rule changes. I don't know what's going on anymore.
There you go. Like, and this is something that is not really going to resonate with people, but let me use an example real quick. Wimbledon this past year. I love Wimbledon. Sports at weird times in the day are always way more fun to watch, right? I don't know why that is, but whenever there's a London game on a Sunday and you wake up at 7 in the morning and they're in the second quarter, for some reason it's cool that you get to sit and watch that game. It's really cool when college basketball starts its season with 24/7 basketball. It's cool when I get to wake up and watch Wimbledon. I'm a huge fan. That's the only tennis tournament I will watch for the entire year. Don't know why. Love it. Well, Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer this year, they go to a tiebreak. And it's decided that after 12 games, I believe, it just goes to a standard tiebreak, which is, you know, point for point, because they don't want these marathon matches happening anymore. Is that how you want things played out? Which, by the way, the only sets that Djokovic won were via tiebreak, and that is how he won the championship. I would argue he shouldn't have won. Okay, because do we want to win on tiebreaks in tennis? Do we think that after the Masters is tied after 18 holes that on Sunday that we should just go to a putting contest? Do you think that we should go to a free throw contest instead of going to multiple overtimes in basketball? Do you think that football should end in a tie? Okay, all the answers to these questions for me are no. For baseball, should you go to a swing off, a home run derby to decide? No. Would it be exciting? Maybe, but that's not the foundation of the game. And I don't know why we insist on trying to change things nowadays. And this is just something that's needed to change, I think, for baseball. Make it best of three. It's fine. It's an extra strain on that team, that wild card team. Sure, but good. That heats up the end of September race like we have now, which is actually kind of weak this year to win the division. Just puts more pressure on the season, the regular season. That's what you need anyway. It's 162 games. Good God. Makes me wonder how I survived a college season at 60 games. All right, so check this out. Tariq Cohen live streamed Instagram from the locker room post game, said it was on accident and apologized. But of course, Bears coach Matt Nagy is very upset and says that it's something that we need to learn from. It was a mistake. So let's make sure that mistake doesn't happen again to all of our players. Diesel, mistake? Was it actually on accident? When I say mistake, did Tariq Cohen accidentally live stream on Instagram? Yes or no?
Didn't we see this happen not like a year and a half ago where a player was live streaming from a team meeting and he got into a ton of trouble?
Could you possibly be talking about somebody named Antonio Brown?
Maybe I am.
How peculiar. Yeah. Like, guys, well, I mean, there are guys, it's hard to learn from the bad examples, right? Like, when you're a part of a losing team, it's harder to learn how to be good. And it's harder to learn from bad examples. It's hard to say, okay, well, I know how not to be, or I know how I don't want to be. That's not as easy as just having the good example for you. And I get that. But when you have such a bad example in Antonio Brown, don't you learn something? Now, Cohen went on to say it wasn't a joke. It was unintentional, but it was my fault. I shouldn't have been on social media in the locker room. I didn't know that that was a rule that, or maybe a team rule, that you're not supposed to be on social media in the locker room. That's great news. That's great news. All right, coming up next segment, we're going to talk transfers, straddling the line, selfishness or career control. Derek Fogle filling in, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.